Awesome, lovely. So I greet you in the wonderful name of our Messiah Yeshua, and I say to you, Shalom.
Shalom.
Awesome. You guys are having a great effective with Hebrew. Shalom is good. Good to say that to one another, and a greeting that we know so well now. You know, in the Jewish community here in Melbourne. Of course, life goes on, and every Friday afternoon, it is so busy where I am, because we're all preparing for the Sabbath. You know, we're all preparing for Friday night, when we'll the mother of the house will light the candles and so forth, and of course, all the wonderful blessings will be prayed, and you know, we chant those blessings. It's really lovely, and we look forward to that time of just being together in the presence of God. You know, it's a very special time. So when you guys do come, come for the whole weekend. Exactly, exactly. Careful for what I ask for, that's right. But thank you, Pastor Neil. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone, for having us come back and be with you again. You know, it's a great blessing. And the Lord is doing His work in all of our lives. You know, it's not different for me than it is for you. It's the same. It's the same stuff. So this morning I want to share with you a very beautiful message that I think is clearly something for each one of us today. Now, this present moment, I call it Shema discipleship, or the greatest commandment. You know, if you look at all of the unsettledness of what's going around with everyone right now across the world, it has never been more important than how we respond today. As followers of Messiah, as followers of Jesus, we cannot jump on those bandwagons that is going on right now in different countries, or even in our own country of Australia. We've got to follow Messiah with all of our heart, you know. We've got to really do that in the right way. And I think we can do it. I really believe so. Even with all of this difficulty, I believe, you know, God has built it into us to follow Him in these times. You know, it's taken us by surprise, but not the Lord. So this morning, let's see what we can discover in this principle of Shema discipleship. It may be true to say that for many centuries the church managed to disguise Jesus as a blonde hair and blue-eyed Danish Messiah. And, you know, I mean, he looks great. But today, it is once again clear to Jew and Gentile alike that Jesus was Jewish. Okay, that's it. His disguise has been taken off. And both Jewish and Christian scholars today freely talk of the Jewish Jesus. In fact, recently a famous rabbi that I've come to know pretty well, Shmuley Bateach is his name, wrote a book entitled "The Kosher Jesus," wherein he sought to demonstrate that Jesus was a Jewish rabbi par excellence. He fell way short of declaring Jesus as the Messiah, and so a messianic Jewish apologist by the name of Dr. Michael Brown wrote a book in response called "The Real Kosher Jesus." I've got that book on my table over there. So Yeshua, Jesus, was a Jewish rabbi who called disciples to follow after him. And so I'm going to do this. If I forget, just tell me that I'm forgetting what I should be doing, because I don't realize all these things that I've got on this table here today. But here, the Great Commission for us, we know it all so well, and it says in Matthew there, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, and that's including the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And so, okay, should I be pointing at that? Maybe. Nope. Ah, there we go. Hang on, I've gone all the way. Where have I gone now? We'll go back to that one again. Are we both doing it together? I'm not sure. Okay, that's fine. Leave it there for a moment. I don't want to distract. How are we going to see this? So Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, if you've got it in your Bibles, let's go there and see this calling from Jesus himself to the disciples. Now it says here, and I'm reading from the New International Version, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, said Jesus, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I'm sure you know this fairly well by now. The concept of discipleship was not new to the Jewish world, and is not new to the Jewish world, even back then. Any significant rabbi would have faithful followers who would be called to a commitment of both following and learning. This, the Hebrew word for the disciples here is Talmid, which means a learner. So you know those big L plates when you drive? That's it. Learner, all right? But discipleship meant more than just learning information. But it meant drawing into a close personal relationship with one's rabbi. This is beautifully stated in the Talmud, where a disciple is called to the following, and now this is taken from the Talmud. Let your house be a meeting place for the rabbis, and cover yourself in the dust of their feet, and drink in their words thirstily. I love that concept. Cover yourself in the dust of your rabbi. What an amazing thought. The best disciples were the ones who stayed so close to their rabbi that they could take in every detail of their mentorship. That should be a fresh challenge to each one of us here today as we consider the call of Yeshua upon our lives. And who did Yeshua call as his disciples? Did he go to the Yeshivot in Jerusalem, the seminaries. No, he didn't. He didn't go to the seminaries there in Jerusalem. He was there at the Sea of Galilee, talking to fishermen. Okay, and they made their living literally around the Sea of Galilee as fishermen. But don't think for a moment that these fishermen were not schooled in the Bible. They would have had the mandatory training of any Jewish boy growing up in ancient Israel. Yet Yeshua called them the Am Haaretz, the people of the land, the common people to follow him. Now, what is a disciple? Simply stated, a disciple is a follower of Yeshua, the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. It seems to be obvious to say this, but being a disciple means that our single most important focus is on the person of Yeshua, of Nazareth, Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua who is Lord of our lives. That's our single focus. Every aspect of our lives needs to be aligned to or realigned around the person of Yeshua and his lordship over our lives. We are his followers, and he should define our lives in every way. One of the biggest problems in Christianity and Messianic Judaism today is that too many people are believers but not followers. You know, it becomes pretty obvious sometimes that, you know, when we meet on a regular basis, you know, that's pretty good and well. But you'll start to notice who are the followers. You know, when the pawpaw hits the fan. it just is that way, you know. I mean, the best way we can show Jesus in our lives is when somebody is really going through tough stuff, you know, really, really tough stuff. That's when we got to step up and be there next to that person to help them, you know, because it'll come to us as well, you know, and we would want that. Now, in the Great Commission that we read here previously, I should have gone back, but I can't go back at the moment. In the Great Commission, Yeshua commands us, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To be sure, the Great Commission is to make disciples, not to make believers. Okay, we're not there making believers, we're making disciples. So, for instance, you know, this little testimony that I shared with you, with Pastor Neil here this morning, with this couple that is going through a really tough time right now. Straight away, when I first met them, I said, look, you know, you might want to know who we are, that we are followers of Jesus. You know, I spoke in a Jewish way, so they understood. I said, you know, we follow Yeshua and so forth. And if that is a problem to you, you know, then I will understand and I'll go away. And they both just looked at me and said, okay, so what? You know, we are really struggling here. It doesn't, you know, I'm not interested in the politics of religion and stuff like that. I need help. And last week I brought him to the center because I've still got a responsibility. I have a responsibility to this family, not just in the way that I walk as a disciple, but also to share the love that I have in my heart about Yeshua. So the story is still unfolding as we go along. You might have somebody in your life right now that you're trying to speak to about who Jesus is. It's not becoming easier, it's becoming more difficult. And so, to be sure, the Great Commission is to make disciples and not believers. All too often we have succeeded in making a person a believer and not a follower of Yeshua. The fruit of evangelism must be preserved by ongoing discipleship in a way that reflects the mission of Yeshua, that reflects Jesus' mission. And what is the mission of Yeshua? Well, Yeshua was sent by the Father to come to this earth to seek and save the lost, right? He was the sent one. The sent one of God. As the famous passage in the gospel says there, and I'll do that. So, for God so loved the world. We know this very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That whoever believes in him should not and shall not perish, but have eternal life. Since Yeshua, Jesus, is the sent one of God for us, for us to be his disciples, we too must take this mission of Jesus, Yeshua, on board for our own lives, for we too are the sent ones of God. And that includes every one of us here in this room today. I want to commend a book to you this morning. And it's this one here that's on the table there as well. It's The Greatest Commandment. How the Shema leads to more love in your life. And it's by Irene Lipson. Please have a look at it. It could be very helpful to you to understand better this principle of what is the greatest commandment. How do we fulfill that? And so we who are followers of Yeshua are to be sure to be followers of the real Yeshua, right? The real Yeshua. As Michael Brown puts it, the kosher Jesus, right? Okay. And not a Yeshua of our own imagination, okay? Or wishful thinking. The truth is that if we get this part wrong, if we follow a false Yeshua, then it all goes wrong. Yeshua is what God is like. So, when Jesus walked this earth, he was the very person of God in the flesh, right? He therefore is our model for true divinity and true humanity, for true holiness and true spirituality. Yeshua modeled for us true Hebraic spirituality. Not rabbinic, but Hebraic spirituality. This brings us to the most important confession of the Jewish faith, and that is the Shema. Okay, we'll go to the next one. And again. Break, yes. I'm not even fulfilling this because I'm not even looking at it. Thank you so much. That's the one I'm looking for. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 49. So this morning, would you please help me by reading this part of the scriptures, please? Let's go. 1, 2. Thank you. Every Jew, well, every Orthodox Jew, that is, will say this prayer 3 times a day, morning, noon, night. The word Shema is the first word of this text, and it literally means to listen, or take heed. The Shema has direct and concrete implications on our lives today. It is a call for the believer to live his or her life under the lordship of the one and only true God, and to bring every aspect of our existence under his authority and true worship. Now, this rightly links faith to an ongoing relationship with God rather than mere intellectual assent to a set of truths. This is the biblical mode of thinking, concrete and practical, and as opposed to theoretical and speculative nature of Hellenistic or Greek thinking, as we shall see. God is Lord of home, field, politics, work, etc. And true worship is to honor God in and through all aspects of life. God is one, and the task of our lives is to bring every aspect of our lives, communal and individual, under this one God. The Hebraic understanding of the worship of God follows through into the New Testament to each one of us who are the disciples of Yeshua. When Yeshua was asked by a teacher of the law, what is the most important commandment? He answered the teacher in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31. Can you please read? Thank you. It goes like this. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. Yeshua places the Shema at the epicenter of what is truly it truly means to be a disciple. To love God, to love others, and to live this out authentically in God's world. I'm not sure why I haven't, you know, grasped or understood the full implications of this truth before. Yeshua said that the Shema is the most important commandment, loving God. And the second most important commandment is loving others. If Yeshua says it is important, then it's important, right? The Shema is God's genius for a wholesome and fulfilling life. The Shema is the key that unlocks true worship, true spirituality, and true discipleship. And so I want to unpack this a little bit this morning. True worship. I think it's going to work. Okay. Thank you. The Shema contains the revelation that God is one. This is not an explanation of his essence, but of his uniqueness. God is the one and only true God of the universe. He is the only one that we should worship. True spirituality. The Shema shows us that God wants to be loved and worshipped in every aspect of life with all of our being. Nothing in life, culture and the whole human experience lives outside of this realm or claim. All of our lives, including sexuality, work, play, home, politics, and economics, must become aspects of our worship to the one true God. True discipleship. Yeshua uses the Shema as the key to expand or open true discipleship to include not only our love for God, which some people are really good at,
but also our love for others, which some people are really bad at. Religious people are often good at the loving God part, but not so good at the loving people part. Yeshua won't have any of this. Discipleship is the way of Yeshua and must include love of people. The Ten Commandments. I can't go with this anymore. I'm not getting what I want to. But follow with me, please, on the slides. Thank you. The first three commandments speak about our worship of this one God and a ban of the worship of idols. The fourth commandment has to do with the sanctification of time, keeping the Sabbath, thereby protecting the God relationship. The rest of the commandments have to do with our relationships with each other. The first four, very important, but the other six, it's about our relationship with each other, right? Love your mum and dad. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And don't covet. So, the first four commandments has to do with our God relationship. And the following six commandments have to do with living out our faith in relationship to each other. Discipleship is living the balance of loving God and loving others, and everything that is in between. Everything there. This is the balance of faith and action, belief and mission. And to be true disciples, we have to demonstrate this balance in our lives. We have to live out the Shema, not just believe it. So what does it mean to love God? Let me illustrate it to you like this. Loving God has three areas of focus. And it's done in a little diagram on my... thank you so much. Right feeling is a matter of the heart. In the Bible, to truly know someone, yada in Hebrew, that's the word, to yada, is to be in an intimate relationship with that person. Interestingly, the word yada is used for the act of sex as well as for the knowledge of God. Knowing God is not a matter of accepting some theological truths about God, but being in an intimate and personal relationship with God. Knowing God is an act of the heart. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. The Bible's understanding of heart not only includes our emotions, but also our will, our loyalty, and commitment. Without the heart, our passions, and our will, it is impossible to truly know and understand God, for it is with the heart that we love God. Right action or right acting is living out our faith. Remember what I said in the beginning, God calls us to be followers, not just believers. A follower of Yeshua broadens his or her knowledge of God through living the truth, not just believing it. True knowledge of God must be expressed in practices or action, and that is why the Bible is one third ethics. As disciples, we are called to be obedient to God in thought, in word, and in deed. The real test of what you know about God is how you live out your faith. The next circle there is right thinking, engaging God
and our world with our minds. Okay, so our hearts are open to God and a commitment to obey. Then we need to remember that the Shema also calls to love God with all of our minds. We need to engage God and this world with our minds. If you fill your mind with junk, you will live a life of junk. If you fill your minds with God, you will become more like God. We don't all have to become intellectual giants, right? It's not necessary. But we must love God, love Him with all of our minds as well. You know, I came to this understanding many years ago of God also wants to be part of our intellect. Sometimes we forget about, you know, this. You know, we think, okay, well, you know, our intellect is there to help us or help others. But how is God involved in the intellect? Well, He really is. Very, very much so. Now, there's a very good example here by Dr. David Block. He's a fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society, professor in the Department of Computational and Applied Mathematics at Witwatersrand, that's in Joburg, and holds a master's degree in relativistic astrophysics and a PhD in astronomy. David Block has been described by Patrick Moore, who is an OBE, as one of the world's leading astronomers. He has been featured on BBC television and in the US. He has featured in live radio and TV interviews. Professor Block is the author of several books, including Star Watch, which has also been translated into German and Swedish. He came here to Australia a few years ago and spoke in a number of different churches here, including Melbourne. Becoming mature disciples. So the Shema teaches us to become mature disciples. Oh, by the way, Dr. Block is a Messianic Jewish follower of Jesus. he's a tremendous person. Thank God for people like him. How do we become mature disciples? So the Shema teaches us to become mature disciples. We need to engage in knowing and loving God on all three levels, our minds, our hearts, and our actions. Some of us will be better on various levels than others. And this is how we complement each other in the body of Messiah. Not one person can't do it all. You know, we are there to complement each other. Only by living our lives according to the Shema can we maintain the love relationship with God. So, can I just go back to that that little graph again, please, with the three parts there? The very center there is where we want to be, which is discipleship. The biblical way of knowing God. You know, we want all of those three parts of our following God to come together into the center. So important. You know, you can't just take one and forget about the other. Thank you. Sorry, we can go back again. The Shema helps us to remember to put God first in everything. If we put God first in our lives, then we will be able to love everything else and everyone else all the more. God is our great love, and every other love finds its place under our love of God. When we put first things first, second things are not suppressed, but they are increased. For example, if I love God more, then my love for my wife is not decreased, but is increased. C.S. Lewis says this: aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. We need to respond. Thank you, co-pilots. You're doing great. We need to respond to God's lordship over our lives by our worship of God. This is not just singing nice songs about God, but worship is nothing less than offering our whole world back to God. I tell you, if this was easy to do, then, you know, everyone here on earth would be following Jesus. But there's a great cost. And as a Messianic Jew, as a Jew that's a disciple of Jesus, I know that cost. What's the conclusion? Yeah. The Shema, as taught by our Rabbi Yeshua, teaches us to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Look into the mirror and see someone made in the image of God. Someone who loves God and someone who God loves. Comes right back. You know, whatever, you know, however much love you put out there, God brings it all back. So, here we see, then I want us to go out and love the world that God loves. That is going to be hard. Amen? It's never easy to follow our Messiah in the way that he fully wants us to. We get it right in some parts, but we fail in others. And that's where we complement each other. Because God will send another emissary. He'll send another one of his angels, you, to that person. And they will have that other part that needs to complement what was lacking. You can't do it all. But I can tell you now, have a crack at it. And so, in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31, thank you. Can we read that, please? Please have a look at some of the books on the table, friends. And we've also got our newsletters there. Grab a newsletter if you don't already get it. If you don't get it, please put your name down. It's free. There's no obligation or anything like that. But I do believe, you know, in the days ahead, following Yeshua, we'll have to call upon all the resources that we possibly can. You know, we are not called the body of Messiah for nothing. And I'm so glad, you know, that I do see hope in all of the stuff that we are going through. We are going through all of, you know, some really out there things, which we never thought we would. But I do see hope in all of this, because I know that nothing is wasted with God. Nothing. You know, none of our trials or our tribulations or our failures, nothing is wasted with God. And that's what I look forward to, is continuing through all the really hard times. I will, and I tell you, I fall again and again. But you know, he gives us the strength to get up again. You know, he gives us that strength and, you know, the willingness to get up again and to serve others, to serve others, to be there for others. And never has that need been greater than now. You know, because it's so easy to become so selfish and to live in our own world. But that's not what it's about. So, thank you so much this morning. May the Lord bless you in all that you do as you continue to serve Him in Haddon and Ballarat and beyond. I think, you know, that just as you are going to, you will come and see how we are doing there in Caulfield. You'll see truly that we are part of one body. You know, and that we live out this command, this greatest command, together. You're not alone. Shalom. Thank you. Yeah.